going to introduce Salima to you now. Most of us know who Salima is. The few people here, I will say that Salima loves words, and she loves conversation and connection around words. So I'd like to introduce Salima Malton.
So lots of words this morning, lots of readings, and lots of sharing. This is going to be a very interactive presentation, and I want to say that I got the word from a former minister, member of our congregation, Jay Bowman, who emailed me the other day and said, I want to remind you of a quote, and it comes from Jesus. I can't quote it now because I didn't copy it, but essentially it said something to the effect that when Jesus was tired, he sat and preached. Chair. So in case I need the chair, it's here. But I did debate with myself these past few days which of several readings I would want to offer this morning. And I decided that what I would do is what I always do, and that would be bits and pieces. So we had America the Beautiful as our opening hymn. And it's very meaningful to me. Many of you know that I made a 10,000-mile pilgrimage last fall alone in my car as I connected with friends and family, and as well as being part of the small crowd of 100,000 or so that sat on the Capitol lawn and engaged with Pope Francis. And so these words mean a lot. America the Beautiful. I mean, I truly experienced that on my drive about. And so it was important that those words be shared. But there are others that I would like to share with you, and then words that I would like for us to share together. I would say that as a mixed blessing, what I call a mixed blessing, second generation American of German and Russian heritage, born in 1939 at the beginning of the Great War, I have always had a love-hate relationship with my country. Now, at age 77, as a mother or grandmother and a great-grandmother to almost 23 descendants, how could that be? I find myself more concerned than ever about the future that I am responsible for leaving them. As a proud-to-be-bold Portland raging granny, I get to stand up for what I believe, and I get to protest what I believe to be wrong. Much of it is done with humor and glitz, and I love it. And my grandkids and my older grandkids, great-grandkids, really seem to appreciate what I'm doing. So here I have, I'm raising a little batch of political activists and social activists. So today, as I've said already, I am very grateful to be here, and I'm eager to lead us in a mixed bag celebration of ourselves as Unitarians in America during what we know to be very turbulent times. So here is the reading that I've selected, and as you might guess, it is a poem. It is by Naomi Shihab Nye, and Palestinian-American poet who is absolutely one of my favorites. I can do this. Yeah, thank you. So what I'm going to do is have Rick, there's two baskets here, and Rick's going to pass them up so you can do them pretty much the way you do everything. Pass, 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 pass. And don't look at them, just choose a folded slip, and it will be the right one. It will be the right one for you. Hang on to it and listen to this poem from Naomi Shihab Nye called Telling the Story. In America, what's real juggles with what isn't. A woman I know props fabulous tulips in her flower bed in snow. Streets aren't gold, but they could be. Once a traveler mailed letters into a trash can for a week. He thought they were going somewhere. In America, everything is going somewhere. I answered a telephone on a California street. Hello? It was possible. A voice said, there is no scientific proof that God is a man. Thank you, I said. I was standing there. Was this meant for me? It was not exactly the question I had been asking, but it kept me busy a while telling the story. Some start out with a big story that shrinks. Some stories accumulate power like a sky gathering clouds, quietly, quietly, till the story rains around you. Some get tired of the same story and quit speaking. A farmer leaning into his row of potatoes, a mother walking the same child to school. What will we learn today? There should be an answer, and it should change. Have all of the... There's none left. Oh, Jim doesn't have one. Oh, no. Well, the reason I was really thinking there'd be some left over. I had no idea we'd have this many people. I think I did 60 or 65. So... This is kind of like a found poem when we get done. We're going to look over what we have in our hand. And when it feels right, that would be the time to read it aloud. Share it. Don't give the author's name. Let us see if we can guess. Because we are going to hear from a lot of known patriots or those who have identified themselves as such, and some that you might be surprised at, who all have words to say about what it is to be an American in the world today, what it is to be independent and interdependent. And I think that as we look at what we have in our hand, we can find the right place to interject that. I'm going to share a little bit again, because I just can't help myself. Something from Wendell Berry. We have lived by the assumption that what was good for us would be good for the world. And this has been based on the even flimsier assumption that we could know with any certainty what was good even for us. We have fulfilled the danger of this by making our personal pride and greed the standard of our behavior toward the world, to the incalculable disadvantage of the world and every living thing in it. And now, perhaps very close to too late, our great error has become clear. It is not only our creativity, our own capacity for life, that is stifled by our arrogant assumption. The creation itself is stifled. We have been wrong. We must change our lives so that it will be possible to live by the contrary assumptions that what is good for the world will be good for us. And that requires that we make the effort to know the world and to learn what is good for it. We must learn to cooperate in its processes and to yield to its limits. But even more important, we must learn to acknowledge that the creation is full of mystery. We will never entirely understand it. We must abandon arrogance and stand in awe. We must recover the sense of the majesty of creation and the ability to be worshipful in its presence. For I do not doubt that it is only on the condition of humility and reverence before the world that our species will be able to remain in it. You got room for a couple more? This is from our own Forest Church, one of the most well-known and well-read ministers in the Unitarian Universalist world. Members in the Commonwealth of God are not bound together by the specifics of their religion, for the nature of our interdependency does not require this. Rather, we are bound by the shared recognition that when one person suffers, all suffer. When we violate one life, all lives are violated. When we pollute the earth, all living things are stained. And when our nation threatens the security of another, it too becomes less secure. When we place the planet in mortal danger, we hazard the future of our children as well as the children of our enemies. So, who's ready? Okay, Rick, do you want to bring Cleon the mic? And feel free, as you read this, if you have a comment, please feel free to make it. Very brief.
It is not always the same thing to be a good man and a good citizen.
And who said that? Anybody want to guess?
Aristotle. What is ironic about this is, when I was thinking about bringing something, this was it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, did I tell you this was going to be a mystical experience? Aristotle. It is not new.
There's one. Human beings are not machines, and however powerful the pressure to conform, they sometimes are so moved by what they see as injustice that they dare to declare their independence. In that historical possibility lies hope.
And let me guess, who said that?
Well, it has to do with historians. You can think of one, contemporary. You probably all loved him. Yes, Howard Zinn, good guess.
Ah. Injustice everywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that was?
Martin Luther King. Loyalty
to country, always. Loyalty to government when it deserves it.
Guess it?
Yeah, you're good.
As you grow older, you'll see white men cheat black men every day of your life. But let me tell you something, and don't you forget it. Whenever a white man does that to a black man, no matter who he is, how rich he is, or how fine a family he comes from, that white man is trash.
Recognize that from a very familiar book? No.
Mm-hmm. To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Leaders in business and government who fail to see the holistic interdependence of our planet are destined to cause its demise. That's pretty funny for social justice person to get that.
I told you you'd get the right one.
Yeah. I am not familiar with the author, but I'll have to. It says Saeed Elias Dalabani from Meme-nomics, the Next Generation Economics System. And I was thinking,
I bet some of you have related quotes that, yes, I see the hands going up. Great.
Here is your country. Cherish these natural wonders. Cherish the natural resources. Cherish the history and the romance as a sacred heritage for your children and for your children's children. Do not let selfish men or greedy interests skin your country of its beauty, its riches, or its romance.
Yay!
You got it all. Say it again. Whatever community organization, whether it's a women's organization or fighting for racial justice, you will get satisfaction out of doing something to give back to the community that you never get in any other way.
Guesses?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The notion that a radical is one who hates his country is naive and usually idiotic. He is more likely one who likes his country more than the rest of us and is thus more disturbed than the rest of us when he sees it debauched. He is not a bad citizen turning to crime. He is a good citizen driven to despair.
I'll be surprised if anybody knows who that was.
H.L. Mencken.
I hate war as only a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality, its futility, its stupidity.
Dwight Eisenhower.
I brought my own, not my work. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. Never was America to me. Well, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath. When opportunity is real and life is free, equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be, the land where every man is free. That land's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose, the steel of freedom does not stain. From those who like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again. America, oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be.
And we know who said that?
That poem?
Langston Hughes.
In the face of impossible odds, people who love this country can change it. It's something just personally I wonder about now and then in the face of all the killing that's being done, that just scares the dickens out of me. I mean, it really scares me and causes me, I know, to back away from some things. For instance, the Pride Parade. I was too frightened to go down there. Sorry to say it, but who knows? Anyway, who said that? Barack Obama.
Persuade your fellow citizens it's a good idea and pass a law. That's what democracy is all about. It's not about 9 superannuated judges who have been there too long imposing these demands on society.
Guess who?
A hint. He's one of the 9.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He was.
Scalia.
Democracy depends on its citizens being informed. And since our media, especially television, which is the most important source of news for most Americans, reports mostly what people in power do and repeats what the people in power say, the public is badly informed, and it means we cannot really say we have a functioning democracy. This really hits me today because I was listening to news on the way in today and thinking, this isn't news, this isn't telling us anything about what's going on.
And who said that?
Howard Zinn.
I'm reading one I brought, but I didn't get one anyway. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. I picked that one because it seems like the word freedom has been co-opted to mean I can do whatever I want. No matter. Anybody else's needs. Nelson Mandela. Patriotism is a superstition artificially created and maintained through a network of lies and falsehoods, a superstition that robs man of his self-respect and dignity and increases his arrogance and conceit. Emma Goldman.
I would not look to the United States Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. We've already heard from her once.
Guess which one she is. Guess which one. Yeah.
I saw courage both in the Vietnam War and the struggle to stop it. I learned that patriotism includes protest, not just military service. Very appropriate for me, who was in my early 20s. During the Vietnam War, and I protested. But I also had friends who served in Vietnam. And then...
And John Kerry, yes.
Should any political party attempt to abolish Social Security, unemployment insurance, and eliminate labor laws and farm programs, you would not hear of that party again in our political history. There is a tiny splinter group, of course, that believes you can do these things. Among them are a few other Texas oil millionaires and an occasional politician or businessman from other areas, New York. Their number is negligible, and they are stupid.
Guess who?
You're going to be surprised.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
The last good Republican.
From your handout, I'm quoting here, all wars are civil wars because all men are brothers. Each one owes infinitely more to the human race than to the particular country in which he was born. And then I had a quote that I'm kind of stuck on right now, which seems to underlie all of what's happened in the past and all of what is happening now. And I quote, I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. End of quote. And that's by President Abraham Lincoln, November 21st, 1864.
Mm, mm, mm.
And the author of the note that I read was Francois Fenelon.
Several generations now have lived by values or disvalues generated by war, including the Cold War and its reliance to deterrence through terrors. The situation continues. The social qualities of confrontation, competition, power, and we now have a world balance continually on the brink. Brinkmanship is our current unnoticed religion or prevailing myth.
Mm.
This is from his journal on October 29th, 1991. Who was that author? Quite famous. William Stanford. Stafford.
I wanted this one to follow the discussion of what patriotism was. A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government.
How'd you get one of those in there?
Edward Abbey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just thought we've been down a little bit the past few quotes. And I'd like to come back to something a little bit more uplifting and positive. Oops, but I have to take off my glasses first. To read. A little bit. We live in an age in which the fundamental principles to which we subscribe, liberty, equality, and justice for all, are encountering extraordinary challenges. But it is also an age in which we can join hands with others who hold to these principles and face similar challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's become quite popular here today. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
The people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can guess this one.
Do you know who said that? A little older than that. Goes back a little further than that.
Hermann Göring.
He who joyfully marches to music, rank, and file has already earned my contempt. He has been given a large brain by mistake, since for him the spinal cord would certainly suffice. This disgrace to civilization should be done away with at once. Heroism at command, senseless brutality, deplorable love of country stance, and all the loathsome nonsense that goes by the name of patriotism. How violently I hate all this. How despicable and ignoble war is. I would rather be torn to shreds than be part of so base an action. It is my conviction that killing under the cloak of war is nothing but an act of murder.
Recognize that one?
Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein.
They wrote in the old days that it is sweet and fitting to die for one's country. But in modern war, there is nothing sweet nor fitting in your dying. You will die like a dog for no good reason. Somebody that wrote very romantically about prior wars.
We don't know that one? Ah.
Okay. Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway.
I do this real moron thing. It's called thinking. And apparently I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions.
Uh-huh.
George Carlin.
At the risk of making Unitarians feel self-satisfied, I'll read this one. Sometimes the Bible in the hand of one man is worse than a whiskey bottle in the hand of another. There are just some kind of men who are so busy worrying about the next world they never learn to live in this one, and you can look down the street and see the results. Close. Harper Lee in To Kill a Mockingbird.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
She's not finished.
But you're right. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted, only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Mm.
And yes, by the Eisenhower. And my daughter really wanted to do it after me. Go ahead.
If patriotism was defined not as blind obedience to government, nor as submissive worship to flags and anthems, but rather as love to one's country, one's fellowship citizens all over the world, as loyalty to the principles of justice and democracy, and patriotism would require us to disobey our government, and it violated those principles.
Hmm. We've heard from him before.
Yes.
Howard Zinn. Okay, we've got about two more minutes.
Society is like a stew. You have to stir it up every once in a while, or else you get a lot of scum at the top.
Is that a Tom Needham quote?
No. Edward Abbey.
Edward Abbey. Yeah. Okay. I think we can do two more.
This is particularly fitting, I think, around times of an election. But truth is the cry of all, but the game of few. George Berkeley.
Maybe we'll end this one a little more positive. Maybe. America isn't breaking apart at the seams. The American dream isn't dying. Our new racial and ethnic complexion hasn't triggered massive outbreaks of intolerance. Our generations aren't at each other's throats. They're living more interdependently than at any time in recent history, because that turns out to be good coping strategy in hard times. Our nation faces huge challenges, no doubt. So do the rest of the world's aging economic powers. If you had to pick a nation with the right stuff to ride out the coming demographic storm, you'd be crazy not to choose America, warts and all.
And that comes from?
The Pew Research Center.
Okay. We've got one here and one there, and then we're going to close.
I brought this, and I just wanted to remind us of the aspirations of this country, and this comes from the preamble. It comes from the Declaration of Independence, which was the best Dear John letter ever written to King George. And it still makes me proud to read the Declaration because it was the first time it was put in writing by people, a completely different way to be governed. And I think we should be reminded of this. And this is just one sentence, though. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among people, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
What a note to end on. Was there one more? Okay.
I'm not too sure I wanted to be last with this one.
All right, then let's leave it.
Okay.
Let's leave it. And let's complete this wonderful found poem with a final quote from Howard Zinn. I love this. This for you, Clive. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history, not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presence, and to live now as we think human beings should live in defiance of all that is bad around us is itself a marvelous victory. May it be so. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Salima.